Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 4th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 at 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances put together by the founders, put in place by their hard work, the answer to the problems we face. We don't want a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt. We hope that happens. We need your help to make it happen. By the way, this is a Freedom Lovin', fantastic bank failure Friday, a meltdown economic Friday, but we are positive. We're taking back hearts, minds, and issues one at a time. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, former Sheriff Richard Mack with us. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks for having me back, and we'll probably see you sometime this weekend.
Amen to that. Ammon Bundy is saying jail is the most difficult thing he's ever done, according to Oregon Live. You want to respond to that, Sheriff?
He said that jail was the most difficult thing he's ever done?
Yes, sir.
Is that supposed to be some sort of big surprise? That's kind of what jail is.
What's fascinating to me, the mainstream press reports on that, is if that's like surprising or strange news or something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could do it as a human interest story, saying how difficult it is for a man who's never been a criminal and never been in jail before, kind of waking up that way every day and every morning. That is difficult. And when I ran a jail, it never ceased to amaze me how difficult it is to live in such conditions. And I certainly did everything I could to be respectful of the people that were there, but it's a hard place to be. You talk about the federal government controlling every facet of your life. Try jail sometime, because I mean, it is getting up early, going to bed early, and when you eat, what you eat, how you eat, is all controlled for you by somebody else. And it is a very difficult life. And I would say, I don't. This I was reminded of this when you asked me that. Every Christmas, I would personally go buy milkshakes for all the inmates. That was usually about 80 to 90 people, and I would go do it myself. I would take an employee with me to help me carry them all. But those types of things, like ice cream and milkshakes and stuff like that, is totally foreign. We don't serve them as part of a dessert for any of their meals. And, of course, there's something special for Thanksgiving. But it's a very difficult place to be. And I never took that for granted, that these people need to be in there, they deserve to be in there. I never felt that way about anybody. I just felt like, you know, these people are in here, and they're human beings. It's a difficult place to be, and we're not going to make it any more difficult for them than it already is. And, you know, people would say, well, how come you let them eat this? And, you know, that's too nice. And how come they get TV? You want them to have some things to keep occupied. You do not want them to be in there totally bored, trying to find something to entertain themselves all the time, or try to find ways to get out.
You're exactly right. Now, let me make the point of the rest of the story, because that's the headline that's going to capture everybody's attention.
Yes.
Ammon Bundy says jail, most difficult thing he's ever done. And that's true, and they got him in a jumpsuit and in jail, and they love to just parade him around in front of the media and all this stuff. But here's the part that you get when you read down in the story that I think is worthy of discussion as well, Sheriff. Quote, "But I don't regret what we did because I knew we were right." Then it goes on and explains what he does with his time in his cell. He jogs to keep in shape. He takes inspiration from the jailhouse words of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. about civil disobedience. He reads scriptures, keeps a journal, and he tries to respond to the 220-plus people that have emailed him, or I'm sorry, that have sent him letters since he's been in jail. He does jumping jacks and runs in place to stay in shape. And he says he misses his wife and six children, 3 daughters and 3 sons, ages 1 to 13. He struggles to keep in contact with them through letters and phone calls, etc. Now, I find it fascinating. Ammon says, "I began to take a look at what we could do to make a stand, to make a point. That this is not okay," meaning the government abusing all of us over land rights, etc. "Much like many have done in our history. We needed to make a lot of noise to get people to understand what is actually happening." Now, I don't want anyone to believe that I think what Ammon did was the right thing to do. I've told you it was a mistake from the very beginning. I'm not changing that view. But I am saying now that he's in jail, and I think before there could have been a better way to go about this goal. Now I think we might actually gain some ground in terms of this discussion. Ammon Bundy and others are claiming that they're political prisoners. I would agree with that. And there's a bunch of tidbits that have brought this back into the news. Yesterday, David Bundy, a Utah resident, along with a bunch of others, got arrested and indicted relating to not the Oregon standoff, but the Bundy Ranch issue back in 2014. Do you want to respond to that? Because that you had a little more involvement in to try to bring peace to that situation, Sheriff.
Well, I'm actually surprised that they went after David, because they already went after David, and now David's going to have a chance to tell his story in court because he was arrested basically for violating the federal government's free speech zone, their corrals, the free speech corral. And he was taken to Henderson, which is about an hour and a half from Bunkerville. And he was, according to every report, and I'm sure they have photographs, he was beaten up and then just released, put back out on the street, not given a ride. Somebody had to go pick him up. And so if they're going to be charging him, boy, I think they're going to have a hard time justifying how they arrested him, took him in, and then no charges were filed against him. So if they had him in custody at that time, what did he do after that now is worthy of being picked up 2 years later? And if all these guys were such dangers to society that they needed to do this big roundup, why didn't they do it 2 years ago?
And that's His wife says in the Salt Lake Tribune piece, according to them, that he was arrested and cited for taking a photograph of federal agents who were working to seize the family's livestock. So, taking a photograph is,
that's a major felony photograph charge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I am quite facetious, and I hope everybody understands that. I'm really surprised they went after David, because I think they're going to have a very difficult time in court with any of this and what they did to him. And I think they're going to have difficulties with a lot of these charges, proving that these people threatened to kill some federal agent or, I've never heard, I've never seen anything on any of the news. And there was a lot of news media there where anybody was saying, we're going to kill federal agents or we're going to go after them, We do have video of Black Panther saying they were going to kill people for going to vote.
We also have that from Black Lives Matter people and from the Ferguson scandal scenario as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the feds are going to have a difficult time with this. And Ammon might be correct about one thing, and that is that they're going to still expose quite a bit of the injustice of the federal government here. But I do not believe that he feels, well, I'm going to just say what you said earlier. I told Ammon not to go in there. I told him to get out of there, and I still maintain that that was the wrong thing to do for them to go in the building the way they did. I don't believe it has a good point. I don't believe it had...
I believe it has a good point. It doesn't make a good point. In other words, the idea is still valid. Let's let you respond in a second. The idea is still valid. The fact is it was the wrong way to go about it. But let's get to what we're going to do going forward. We'll do that. We'll hear from Mac in seconds on your radio.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundTable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundTable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, former Sheriff Richard Max with us, CSPOA.org to learn more, get his books, join the revolution. I shouldn't call it a revolution, I guess. Join the changes in the hearts and minds of the American people to find out how we can defend this great republic. We're talking about a prisoner update for Ammon Bundy and others. Ammon's, he says this is the hardest thing he's ever done in his life, that is being in jail. But he says he's content because he knows that he was doing the right thing. His brother David just got arrested yesterday. The government's starting to bite off more than they can chew. I agree with former Sheriff Richard Mack on that. This one's going to start to get harder and harder the bigger they cast the net. I was saying that it was the right cause and that his point is correct. His way of going about it is wrong. Let me give you a quick extreme example to hammer home the point. Abortion is evil and wrong. And I believe it's pro-death, okay? But let's say that I were to try to blow up abortion clinics because I believe that I ought to stop the people that are killing people. Well, that's an extreme example, but my point might be just to stop abortion, but I'm certainly going about it the wrong way. I don't have the right to kill just because they're killing. Now, I know that's an extreme example and doesn't relate to the Bundy situation at all in terms of its gravity. Nevertheless, it makes the point that I don't believe Ammon went about it the right way. Nevertheless, I think his point was a just one. And I interrupted the sheriff right before the pause. Sheriff?
No, I appreciate your perspective because that's actually where I was headed with that. I wasn't going to use that analogy, but I think it's an absolute correct analogy. It wasn't the right way to go about it. And yes, they have a very good point about the land theft by our federal government. Right now, the United States government owns one-third of the United States of America. They claim they own.
Yeah, they really don't. They've stolen it, but they claim that. You're right.
Yeah, they claim they own it, but it is theft. And if you look at it, it's way out of proportion in the West, where all of us live, where the Bundys live and where the Hammonds live and everything going on in the West. So if you look at it, a third, if you look in the East, it's not a third. It's not even close. I'll bet it's not even, if you go east of the Mississippi, it's not even 10%. I bet it's not even 5%. So most of this is in the West. And you have to ask yourself, why is it that they're grabbing all the West and they're not grabbing the East? And so Ammon, you know, God bless him, but they didn't really think this one out. And I'd like to know who it was that they were consulting and talking with when they decided to go in to the Muir Wildlife Refuge. So, I it's really hard for me to get this out sometimes because I do so admire Ammon and his family. And where I teach high school in Arizona, a lot of people know the Bundys because this is where their kids went to school, where I teach right now. And so many people that teach there and work there knew Ammon very well and his wife Lisa, and they just have nothing but admiration for them. And the principal, who you know at our school, Mrs. Ellsworth, she said the same thing. And she just says, I just love Ammon and his whole family. They're the greatest people I've ever known. And so I do want to make that clear that anybody and everybody that I know there that know Ammon say what a great person he is. And his wife, and so it's really difficult to say how somebody that is such a good man did something that I felt was so foolhardy. And
I have an answer for you, Sheriff, for you to consider.
Okay.
Everybody has a line of where they feel like the government is going too far.
Yeah.
And where that line is for you, I don't know. I can answer where it is for me. But the problem is everybody has a line, and once that line's crossed, they feel justified in doing what they need to do or what they feel they need to do to try to make things right. Let me give you an example. Biblically, Daniel in the Bible felt like when the government tells me not to pray, that I'm going to defy. I'm not going to go along. I'm going to pray.
Right.
And you know what? The lion's den was a result, and he was victorious, etc. But I'm saying that was Daniel's line. The founding fathers had a line. And they put up with literal abuse from King George and from the government, from these surrogates across the sea, for literally decades and decades and decades. The Declaration of Independence outlines it quite well. Nevertheless, and I'm not telling you something you don't know, I'm just making this point that, okay, but when they decided it was their line, was when the King George, when the thug, through his agents, came for their guns. They said, you know what? We put up with a lot, we're willing to put up with more, but we're not willing to let you disarm us because we know we'll never be able to resist after that. I'm sorry, you have crossed the line, we will defend ourselves now. That was defensive in nature.
Right.
The point that I'm getting at is everybody has a line. My line is a lot in the lines of the founding fathers about taking our ability to defend ourselves or fight for freedom. That's one line. Another line that I have is when society devolves into a pandemonium where there is no rule of law, then I will feel appropriate defending myself and or my family out of necessity. It's a God-given, unalienable right of self-defense and protection.
Okay. Well, excuse my chortle, but I have to tell you, when you were talking about society devolving, I went right into thinking about the Republican debate last night.
Wow, good point. And that what's happening on the stage, when that starts to happen in society,
yeah.
Then I kind of feel like, you know what, I'm pretty justified in deciding that I'm going to take care of myself, and that, you know what, whatever manipulated perversions they have don't apply to me. So I know that's an extreme example, but everybody's got that line, and Ammon just feels like his has been crossed, that's all. And you know what, if I was a rancher, I might feel the same. I don't know. I don't know that I'd go about it the same way. I'm just telling you that that's the issue, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and I guess that is a good point. But I have tried to say, what would it take for me to say, okay, well, I might as well get killed or go to prison because there's no place else to go. And this is my line, just like you said. And to me, though, I'm ready to start drawing lines, but I'm also not ready to just say, wave a red flag at the Goliath federal government, say, come and get me, either come and kill me or come and arrest me. I can't think of too many times, even if my lines were crossed, that I would do it that way. I would still want to be in concert with other people in the country and say, what can we do now? Let's have a meeting. Let's get a lot of people together and let's say, okay, the line has been crossed. Is there any other peaceful way for us to have recourse in this country? And then if we can come up with that recourse, then let's get after it and let's focus on that and let's quit paying any attention to these ridiculous campaigns and elections like we see going on right now. And believe me, I still hope a good person becomes president, and I would be very curious. This is probably why I find myself drawn to John Kasich, because he's the only one acting with a little adult maturity and saying, let's stop the fighting. And that Trump and Rubio...
But he's really stopped the fighting as long as you elect an insider like me. Otherwise,
yeah,
hey, I'm going to take down Trump, I'm going to jettison the party, I'm going to whatever the case is. So he's right. Somewhat saying that.
But at the same time, I would be very curious to have Cruz win the whole thing now, because he has said, and he's also campaigning that he's a man of his word, he has said that he's going to abolish the IRS. I would be extremely curious to see him get the chance to try to do that, because I don't believe he will do it. He might try, but I don't believe he will be successful, and I believe he'll make a bunch of excuses as to why he can't do it.
I'm afraid you're right.
Yeah.
I can't support Cruz because I don't believe he's constitutionally qualified.
Well, that's still a point that I think could legitimately be made against him, but even though... my curiosity to see him get rid of the IRS would outweigh that for me, because I think it's such a freedom issue that no one else is really talking about, that if he could do that, I believe that we would have this, the beginning of the restoration that you talk about every time in your monologue when you come on this radio show.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's what we're pushing for, and I believe that's what Ammon Bundy's pushing for as well.
Yeah.
The question is, what can we do for them now, and how can we make sure that this... maybe ill-advised move by Bundy gets back on track for what we agree on, huh? Is that possible?
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so I asked a question, how on earth can we help Ammon Bundy in a way that supports what we believe in, what we can unite around, but yet understanding that his idea might have been ill-advised, but yet, you know what, his concept, his desire for freedom is a good one, and his points about the problems are on target, but yet he made the wrong move. How do we change that? How do we make a difference? Now, I got a couple of headlines to talk about that I know seem randomly unrelated, but I believe they are. This is Sam Bushman Live with Kirk Crosby and former Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org on your radio. Now, the quick headline says this. U.S. District Judge Anna J. Brown ordered talk show host Pete Santilli indicted on a federal conspiracy charge relating to the Malheur Wildlife Refuge to be released to a halfway house after a mental health evaluation. They're going to release him with a GPS on. He'll be kind of on a house arrest in this halfway house with a GPS, but only after a mental evaluation. Okay, now we're starting to back into this idea that, you know what, you probably need a mental evaluation because you believe in conservative principles, Richard, because you believe that the sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer within a given county or jurisdiction, that you believe, okay, you probably need one of those mental health evaluations, sir. That's where they're going with all this. Now, that's one headline to give you an update on Pete Santilli. He's still not out. Also, Sports Authority files for bankruptcy. They're going to have to close 140 stores in the BK. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio credits less guns for more stabbings. We'll get into that as well. The reason I bring these headlines up, but they seem totally unrelated, but I'm submitting to you that they're all related. That is the devolving or destruction of our society, Sheriff.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you could talk about de Blasio forever on stuff like that, but they are related. All of that is related. And I'm actually surprised that Pete Santilli hasn't been released altogether, because I think that's going to be another huge fight they're going to have on their hand. And even the ACLU is coming out and supporting Pete Santilli because he is a member of the media. And that he got in there and he could say, well, yeah, I gave him tacit support. I even lied, just like undercover cops do. that I support.
Had to do it to get the story, people.
Exactly. Exactly. And how many undercover reporters have done the same when they infiltrate any kind of organization or any kind of a protest rally? You know, they might go in there just with a camera on their person. You know, we've seen that before. So, yeah, the federal government really wants to send a message to the rest of the country and to the rest of the patriots that you better not do crap like this anymore.
And let me stop you there and say that's why we must unite, whether it's a Pete Santilli example, whether it's a David Bundy example, whether it's you or me or anybody else. Where is so we got this line of when we're going to fight back and how when the government crosses it, right? Well, the government's got this line, too, of how are they going to start to cast their big net? You went to the Bundy Ranch. Are you next, Sheriff?
Well, believe me, a lot of people have been asking me that, including my clergyman. So, yeah, I was there. So was my son.
But hold on, you were only there to try to defuse the situation and try to restore peace, sir.
Don't be bringing facts into stuff now, Sam.
Oh, yeah, good point. You're a white supremacist anyway, I'm just saying. See how they go? I mean, it's just belligerent off the charts crazy.
Well, I think these court cases are going to get very extensive, and I think that the Bundys are not going to take any plea bargains unless they were so sweet that it would be basically telling them no jail and no fines and or minimal fines, and you basically go free. I don't think they're going to take any plea bargain, and so they're going to go full board on this. And for the federal government to prove the kind of charges that they're for instance, I don't believe there was one federal employee who was kept from the Malheur Wildlife Refuge building the entire time that the Bundys were there, yet they're being charged with that. Interfering with a federal agent's duties or job and threatening to kill or hurt a federal agent in the execution of his job. I never saw any threats to anybody. I mean, you and I watched all this stuff every day. I saw all the media reports. I didn't see any threats to anybody. I saw somebody who's Ammon saying, we're going to stay here for years if it takes that. That's not a threat to anybody. And that he's carrying a gun, that's not a threat to anybody. In fact, I never even saw that he was carrying a gun. So I don't believe the federal government's going to have a very easy time in court with any of this, with anybody. I don't believe that.
But they're going to win unless we, the people, find some way to fund the battle here, whether you agree with Pete Santilli. Pete Santilli has a right to free speech, says the ACLU. Now you got the ACLU involved. You got us involved. We might be able to get the Rutherford Institute involved. Who knows? We'll try on that. There's a lot of ways. But this is an epic battle. And the problem is, where do you define that line? Whether you agree with Ammon or not, then you got to say, well, do you agree with Pete Santilli or not? Then you got to say, okay, do you agree with Richard Mack going there to try to restore peace or not? Okay, do you agree with Sam Bushman covering it or not? And where do you go, Sheriff? And what are we going to do to make sure that the government doesn't continue just to cast this? I mean, you heard the Republican Party's a big tent, for crying out loud. They're trying to put everybody in jail.
Yeah, and I think that the federal government would have been a lot better off just leaving well enough alone. I really believe that they're going to have egg on their face on this one, justifying leaving everybody alone from the bunker bill situation until the burn situation happens. That doesn't make any sense. That looks like selective prosecution. It looks like subterfuge. And it makes it look very obvious that it's subterfuge.
We better figure out how we're going to respond, people. All right, de Blasio's in the news, Kurt. And I kind of hinted at it. De Blasio talks about less guns for more stabbings, but the details are interesting that I want you to brief us on. Then Sheriff can respond, sir.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. But, we've seen this coming for a long time. He now credits all these recent stabbings, for, I guess, the fact that we got less guns in New York. He's trying to put a positive spin under these stabbings that they've had and slashings across the city. And he says that's because we took the guns off the street. He says, I'm not a criminologist, but I can safely say that guns are being taken off the street in an unprecedented way. Some people, he says, unfortunately, are turning to a different weapon. So anyway, what are they? I guess they're going to outlaw knives, I guess, next, huh?
Now, sure. What I find fascinating about this is every case we're talking about in some way ends up relating to guns, doesn't it, Sheriff?
Well, it sure does, and that's even in my book, my first book, For My Cold Dead Fingers, and discussing these ridiculous gun control issues. Dianne Feinstein, one of the biggest gun grabbers in America, actually proposed to get rid of assault knives in California and across the country. And I thought I was joking about that. I said, well, next thing you know, they're going to try to get rid of assault knives and declare certain knives, because they're so big, illegal. And so this doesn't surprise me, but the thing that you want to do as mayor of New York City is not tell people we have a huge increase in knife crimes. And we're trying to take credit for this because we're doing so good of getting rid of guns. If your violence rate is not going down, you idiot, de Blasio, then don't brag to the public that you're doing something good. And that's why this is just, to me, this just supports the book. Is it O'Reilly or Ann Coulter that wrote the book, Liberalism is a Mental Disease or something?
I think that's actually Michael Savage, isn't it?
Maybe it is.
I know Savage's claimed that. We'll look up who wrote that book, though.
Okay, but regardless, the point is still the same. This looks so stupid and insane that somebody would brag that violence rates are up and the stabbings are up and say, what a great job we're doing getting rid of guns. What an idiot. If the violence rates keep going up, and in fact, that's what my book points out also. If indeed you get rid of guns, people will find another way to kill each other.
All right, liberalism is a mental disorder. Michael Savage, Savage Solutions.
Okay, good.
Just so everybody knows. All right, quick pause. We'll come back. I want to talk more. There's a lot of unrelated issues that are totally related. We'll talk about them. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. You got Sheriff Richard Mack riding shotgun, CSPOA.org. Become a member today.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
By the way, all of Donald Trump's rivals say they would support him as the nominee. That's kind of interesting. Romney calls Trump phony. Problem is, in my opinion, Romney flip-flops once again and creates his own credibility crisis. Just saying. All right. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Savage Solutions. Michael Savage wrote the book. There's a new cash issue in the news that I really want to talk about. Kurt?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. You know how they're trying to get rid of the $100 bills, et cetera. And what's
I like $100 bills.
Yeah. They say that, you know, you got a lot of the illegal activity that occurs. And, you know, this way you would, if you get everything digital, you know, there wouldn't be anybody stealing money because it would just be digital. But
lies.
Sam, and that's true. I guess you even got negative interest rates in some countries where, for example, you put your money in the bank and they charge you to keep it there. So anyway, people are wanting to hoard their own cash. And, you know, that's what the word hoard means. They're going to label them as evil people. And that's going on now, huh? In Japan and Switzerland, by the way.
So what does that mean? People want cash? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, people kind of want freedom. They want to know that if they have their money, they don't really want everybody to know what they do with it, you know, that kind of thing. But they say that politicians claim this idea as a sign of nefarious behavior. You know, I mean, if you just want to do what you want with your money and you don't want to tell everybody about it, imagine that kind of a... You are one bad dude, right, Sam?
Of course I am. No matter what I do, I'm a bad guy. It doesn't matter how good or nice or kind or gentle or appropriate I am. I'm a bad guy. All right. Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. Let me explain the problem, Kurt. She's threatened by a criminal investigation. Now, no story like the American people are threatened by Hillary's dishonesty and immorality and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But Hillary is threatened. Think of that. Hillary's threatened by this bogus investigation there, Richard.
Well, on the one hand, we have a federal government that's arresting everybody right and left. So why doesn't she come out and say it's bogus against them? It's only bogus if it's against her.
Well, it's kind of like Hillary used to run around and say it was a right white ring conspiracy to criticize her husband about Monica Lewinsky.
Well, yeah, and now it's all on her. I mean,
hey, you stop that. I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, yeah. Every time something happens with her emails and her lack of following the law when it comes to protecting American clandestine operations across the world and protecting the workers who do them, she says it's the Republicans going after her. Every time. I mean, every single time. It's the Republicans going after her. It's not the FBI. It's not the Justice Department. It's the Republicans. So, true to form, always blaming something else for her, someone else for her legal problems, And she still has a lot of things to answer for. Her cattle futures trading that got her so much money. The most poorly disguised murder in American history, Vince Foster. I mean, the Clintons, Bill Clinton is especially correct when he said, "I am bulletproof," you know. And that's the way it seems with these two people, because they think they get away with everything, and they usually have. And if you take the scandals that Bill Clinton was involved in, you would absolutely wonder, well, why would he say I'm bulletproof? Because that's exactly what it looks like with him.
Hey, it's not my fault that I'm bulletproof. I'm just doing the best I can for the American people. Right? And that's how he acts. He's acts like, what are you talking about? And I'm all good.
You know, all he had to do is come out to stop everything is come out and say, I feel your pain. You know, and so everybody buys into that, and the media lets him get away with all of this. And I will tell you, though, the Clinton-Trump candidacy, if they're the two going against each other, will be the dirtiest and most heinous campaign the United States of America has ever seen.
Don't worry about a thing. While Hillary and Donald are debating, I'll sit by Donald's wife. do you think that'd be all right? Nobody would mind if I was kind to his wife, would they? See, it's that kind of stuff where we just go, you know what? Why is Hillary even being considered for president? She should be considered for prison.
Yeah. Still might happen, too.
Well, that's what they say, but I don't believe it. I wish it was true. But again, liberalism is a mental disorder, so what can you say? All right, they're all going to support Trump as the nominee. That's the rivals. But the insiders, they're trying to push for a third party. They're trying to do all kind of things. Well, Kirk Crosby's trying to collect $100 bills. Democratic frontrunner's all threatened by the establishment there. Poor girl. I guess Bundy's in the news, though, for something else. He's in jail. He's not even responsible for this. But Bundy continues to wreak havoc even if he's not there at his ranch, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right. His cows are causing trouble, Sam.
Yes, sir. Belligerent. What do they call them? Ornery cows?
Well, yeah, they call them million-dollar herd of ornery. Yeah, O-R-N-E-R-Y. You know, it's an elevated word you use in the publishing.
So what does that mean? Ornery cows.
They're giving feds a meaty problem, they say.
Wait a minute. What does that mean, though? What does that mean?
Well, it means they just don't come at your beck and call. I mean,
when was the last time you heard a cow come at your call? What's wrong with these feds? No wonder they're so ignorant. They don't. Come on.
Now, yeah. When they're calves and you yell, calf, 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 and it's time to eat, those calves will come running.
Yeah. It's like kitty, kitty, kitty kind of.
Well, yeah, but I guarantee you the adult bulls will never do that, and then any adult cow doesn't do that anymore. No, it's just the calves.
Okay, that's right. Now they say they got trouble with him because what happens on his ranch? This is according to the BLM guys. Well, you know, for example, this is a quote from him. Rather than manage and control his cattle, he lets them run wild on the public land.
By the way, ornery means bad contempt or bad temper and combative.
Yeah,
with little, just combative, if any, cows.
They say human,
you know,
interaction.
They are,
yeah,
anti-government cows. Darn right, grouchy anti-government ornery cows.
They've got little, if any, human interaction until such time when he traps them and hauls them off to be sold or slaughtered.
Grumpy,
that's what court
cranky,
documents filed
crotchety,
by. That's
cantankerous, bad tempered,
ill tempered. Federal prosecutors said last month, he said, they went on, he says, he does not vaccinate or treat his cattle for disease, does not employ cowboys to control and herd them, does not manage or control breeding, has no knowledge of where all the cattle are located at any given time. He rarely brands them, they said. Boy, this is one bad rancher.
That's supposed to control breeding. Just how do you control breeding? I mean, the federal government, what do they have rules now on their grazing?
Hey, I've been controlling breeding for years. I only have one daughter, but I got a lot of women. I'm just saying, I know how to handle breeding. Now, hey, what I wonder, though, is this. How do they expect him to track his cows and make sure that they're not breeding too many cows and burping and farting and ruining the environment? How's he supposed to do that behind bars, sir? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, they say another evil thing that Bundy's cows are doing while he's in prison, by the way, the cows are left to fend for themselves year-round, fighting off predators and scrounging for the meager amounts of food and water. That's according to federal prosecutors. In addition, the authorities maintain that the surviving cattle are wild, mean, and ornery, and they're destroying fragile plant species and even destroying sacred Indian artifacts. Boy, I'll tell you what, you've never seen a more dangerous
thing. Me and Joe Biden can take care of all the wives while they're out there debating. Does that sound like a good idea?
Wow. They say the BLM spokesman, Jeff Cross, he told the FoxNews.com in a statement, he said, Mr. Bundy's cattle continue to be in trespass. There are no plans for a gather. They should put up a sign. There are no plans for a gather at this time as we continue to cooperate with the Department of Justice on the ongoing legal matter. So I guess those cows are going to be free to roam out there on the federal
legal
property.
Matter for them. Tell them to tell me, or the public, tell the federal government to tell everyone how much money they spent at the Bundy Ranch on security and on paying paid hitmen to be there. And how much that entire operation cost, which they have never done. And tell them I want to know how many cattle they killed during the Bundy siege or raid or whatever you want to call it. How many cattle they killed and why they killed them.
You can't be asking questions like
that.
The
means justify the end, you know, Sheriff. You just have to remember.
Mean, all right.
Hey. Are those cows racist, too?
I think so, Sam. I mean, they've got to be. They're held by a white racist.
You think they're armed?
Them cows? Cows, too.
They'll kick you.
Ornery, cantankerous
get
cows.
Get too close to them. Mm-hmm.
All right, don't worry. The government's not moving on the cows just yet, ladies and gentlemen. We'll keep an eye on the ball just for you.
Move.
All right, Sheriff, where are you going next? Make it quick.
Boy, I can't remember. Well, oh, yeah, New York.
Utah.
Weekend. Next weekend is New York.
He's coming to Utah to eat pupusas with Sam and Kurt, and then he's rolling to New York. Maybe you can take on the Donald in New York, sir.
Nueva York.
Maybe Donald can meet with a good sheriff. That'll be a good, worthwhile effort. CSPOA.org. Thanks, Sheriff.
Hey, thank you, guys. See you soon.